You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is part two of a two-part program that I gave part one yesterday, and it was really a brief, about a 30-minute, I think I edited it down to about 25-minute show because I had a scheduling problem as well as another commitment that I had to go to, so I had to cut the show short. Normally, I would have taken this subject and probably one show and do a long show, a two-hour show. So I'm going today try to summarize what I said last time, but continue on with my criticisms of the Donald Trump proposed tax plan. But before I do, I need to, for many times I get new people listening to the show, and they really don't know my political philosophy. They don't know where I'm coming from. So I need to give a little bit of an introduction. I've been a conservative / libertarian class liberal all my life. If you ask me what my political philosophy is, I will say I'm a classical liberal. In the United States, that's usually referred to as a libertarian, although there are some fine distinctions between the two. What are libertarians or classical liberals for? First and foremost, they're for freedom and liberty. And that means we favor the Constitution, we support a representative republic, and we want a government that's limited. And I emphasize that. Most libertarians today would cut the size of the government significantly back. For starters, I think the federal government should be cut back by about half. But the problem is, big government is growing. It's like a cancer, and it's local, city, state, county, as well as at the federal level. As a result, what has happened? More and more people have to work two jobs. Many, many situations, husbands and wives have to work. And why are they doing that? Because of the heavy tax burden. But the core problem is out of control government spending, especially at the federal level. And that's what we're going to be talking about, because Donald Trump's tax proposal is a modification of the current Internal Revenue Code. And just a little bit of history, it was President Woodrow Wilson who favored progressive income taxation, as did most progressives, and gave us, in the 16th Amendment, when it was finally passed and ratified, the income tax. It was designed to sock it to the rich, and very, very few Americans paid the tax. As my recollection is, less than 5% paid for it. Now, most Americans pay a very regressive payroll taxes, and that's for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. However, they don't pay income taxes, or rather, a small percent. Well, let me modify that, and I need to point something out for new listeners. The way you listen to this show is go to prankpops.wordpress.com. That's the companion blog for this show. And right below it, you'll have my notes for the show. Let me back up. Right below it, you'll have links to the most recent 68 shows, but below that, you'll have my notes for the show, and they're rather extensive. And I start off from a quote from Barry Goldwater. And it's the reason I included this. I became a conservative in 1964 when Barry Goldwater was running for president. I couldn't vote, but I was for Barry Goldwater. And at the national convention, he made a statement that is probably one of the most quoted statements of Barry Goldwater. I would remind you that extremism in a defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. That got the Rockefeller Republicans, the so-called country club or limousine liberal Republicans, mad, to put it mildly. And they hated Barry Goldwater. And Barry Goldwater went down to defeat in a landslide victory by Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ. And LBJ got approximately 59% of the vote. And ever since then, the Republican Party remembers that. And the Republican Party today is largely a big government party. Yes, they have conservatives. Yes, they have libertarians. Yes, they have Tea Party patriots. But the leadership, as well as the majority in the Republican Party, are for big government. And they have expanded it and expanded it and expanded it. The Democratic Party is actually worse. They get elected again. Let's say Hillary Clinton pulls it out and wins the presidency. She would expand the government. She would also increase your taxes. Now, why do I emphasize spending? Spending is the problem. Spending is what's out of control. We already are heading towards, by the time President Obama leaves, the national debt will be over $20 trillion. $1 billion is $1,000 million. $1 billion is $1,000 billion. A trillion dollars is $1,000 billion. That's a big number that most people, including me, have difficulties conceiving how large a number it is. The first 3 years of the Obama administration, and remember we were coming out of a recession, we had 3 years in a row of deficit spending of over $1 trillion. It was 1.4 trillion, 1.3 trillion, just barely under 1.3 trillion. Since then, the deficits have gone down, and where a deficit is where you spend more money than you collect in taxes. This year, it's looking like it'll be somewhere between $500 billion and $600 billion. I checked the number, and we won't really know until the end of October what the final fiscal. The fiscal year ends tomorrow. The fiscal year runs from 1 October of last year through September 30th. So fiscal year 2015 ends tomorrow. The Treasury Department will put out its monthly Treasury statement, and they're usually late because it's the end of the year. Sometime, I would guess, towards the end of October, the third or fourth week of October. Then we'll know, with maybe some adjustments later, what the national debt increased by in 2015. It looks like it's somewhere between $500 and $600 billion. It could be higher than that. I have my intuition says it'll probably be in excess of $600 billion because certain amount of games are being played by the Treasury Department, but we'll see. The important point is this. Spending is out of control. That is the core problem. And that means you're burdening not only people living today, but future generations, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. In other words, neither political party, because they're both big government parties, will come to grips with that. They will not make the tough decisions. They're simply incapable of doing that. Many of them are oblivious to the economic consequences of running these massive deficits. And they keep kicking it down the road. You've heard that. I don't like that phrase. Kick the can down the road. And John Boehner's a perfect example of this. He's going to retire the end of this month. Good riddance. He came in as a conservative. He's a perfect example of what's wrong with Washington, D.C. leadership of both parties. He came to Congress as a conservative from Ohio. Today, if you look at his ratings from the Conservative Review, it's at 35%. That's an F. To be a conservative, you have to have at least an A or a B, 80% or more. And if I'm in a generous mood, over 75%. He's at 35%. That's the Republican House Speaker. And McCarthy is a little, Kevin McCarthy, who supposedly has the lead to be the next Speaker. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's in the 40s. He's still an F. He's not a conservative. He's a progressive Republican. He's from California. Are you surprised he's from California? I'm not surprised. The leadership of both parties are the problem. They're ignoring the American people. What was the Tea Party movement about, essentially? Stop the bailouts and balance the budget. cut spending. Have they done it? No, they have not done it. In 7 years, they haven't done it. And frankly, with this leadership, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm giving you this, and to emphasize, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. Full disclosure here, I'm an independent. I'm sick and tired of both parties lying to me, misleading me, not telling me the truth. And right now, what they're doing is ignoring the American people on immigration, on spending, and on taxes. So that's where I'm coming from. Government is out of control. A first step is just to balance the budget where you have no zero deficit means you have a balanced budget. And before I forget, that's just the tip of the iceberg. What's not mentioned is unfunded liabilities of over $100 trillion, essentially for Social Security and Medicare. What does that mean? We don't have the money to fund the benefits. We won't have the money to fund the benefits. Now, what should that tell you? At some point, your benefits are going to be drastically cut, or taxes are going to dramatically increase, or we're going to increase the debt even more. What's driving the debt? Our entitlement programs and welfare programs, and to a lesser extent, defense. That's where the money's at. What we need to fundamentally do is really cut spending. We also need to close permanently government departments. You know, the big debate right now in the news, and here's how bad the Republican Party is. Oh, we can't close the government. We don't want to be blamed for closing the government. And both parties point the finger to each another. It's a distraction, folks. At some point, the federal government is going to be forced to close departments. Why? They don't have the money. We're heading for default. We're heading to be Greece in the next 10 to 15 years. And I think 10 is being optimistic. It could be sooner because we have leadership that won't confront and address the fundamental problems of this country. That's why we're growing at less than 3%. We have today, in essence, a stagnating economy growing at maybe 2 and 2.5%. And we'll get some statistics again in October, seeing what the advanced number is for the third quarter. You got to be careful because you really need the final estimate, and we won't get that into December. We're on the verge of another recession, and that means more layoffs, more unemployment. I'm not in a prediction game. I'm just telling you, historically, we're overdue for a recession, and this one will probably be worse. Who knows what will be the shock or the event that causes it, but that's where we're headed. And we're in fundamentally worse shape than in the day that President Obama took the oath of office. Okay, I've spent a little bit more time than I thought on introducing this, but I want to emphasize the problem is spending. And how do you pay for the spending? Taxes, or you can inflate your money, print money, so-called quantitative easing. They create money. That ultimately leads to inflation and the decline in the purchasing power of your money. You see it in price increases. So that's where we're at. So what does Donald Trump propose? And let me spend three more minutes on where I am on Donald Trump. I have always been, let's say, skeptical of Donald Trump. But let me give you my history in terms of the 2016 presidential candidates. Initially, before anyone announced, I said there were four people that I was impressed with that I would like to see run for president. Who are they? Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, who did run but withdrew last week. Second was Governor Mike Pence, who decided not to run for president but is running for a second term as governor of Indiana. Of everyone, he was the most impressive candidate, and unfortunately, he didn't run. The junior senator from Texas, Senator Ted Cruz. Very intelligent, impressive guy. I think he would make a terrific attorney general, but since Walker and Pence are not in the running, he's still on my list of four people. Initially, I had Senator Rand Paul on my list. I took him off my list for the simple reason there's certain hot button issues with me, and one is immigration. And while he's tough on illegal immigration, I have reservations on his position on legal immigration, and I pay a lot of attention to Numbers USA that rate the candidates on the single issue of immigration. I think he got a D+, and Rick Santorum got an A. I'm putting Senator Rand Paul back on my list of four people that I'd like to see president. And the reason for this is I had reservations about first Scott Walker in the immigration area. I still have reservations on Ted Cruz in the immigration area. Oh, they're all, most Republicans will say, I'm for securing the border. Well, I've heard that nonsense for over 15 years as we've been invaded. And this country is being, has been and is being invaded by illegal aliens. And the numbers are not 11 or 12 million. I don't care how many times that lie is repeated in the media. Get that out of your head. It's somewhere between 30 and 50 million minimum. It could be much higher, much higher. And that's something they don't want to discuss. Neither does Trump, although he does mention, he's one of the few candidates said, well, it could be 20 or 30 million. It's no could be about it. It's somewhere between 30 and 50 million, and that is the deep secret that neither party wants to tell you about. So I have reservations even on Cruz because he wants to increase legal immigration. And there's a group of senators that want to increase legal immigration, which is now a little above a million to 2 million and then 3 million. In other words, accomplish legally what is now being done to this country illegally. So you got to watch both parties, but the Democratic Party is hopeless. They're beyond the pale. I no longer consider them. They're a far left-wing party that is shrinking in size, as is the Republican Party. Both parties are losing their bases, and that's why the Democratic Party wants more immigration, both legal and illegal. I added Donald Trump to the list. Why? Well, one, and this is important, if you're going to run as a Republican today, you better be pro-life. I'm pro-life. That is a sensitive issue with me. And although he's changed his position, I know he's changed his position, I said, okay. He gave me, I think, a good reason. I don't know what's in his heart or his mind, but I'll check that box off. He's the only candidate that made immigration the key issue of his campaign. I'm not totally sold on Donald Trump's position on immigration. He thinks he owns it, but I'm not hearing enough about how is he going to really deport the 30, not 10 or 11, the 30 to 40 million. And the only way that'll ever happen, the only way you're going to stop the invasion and stop and roll back the invasion and the invaders that are here, the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, is you have to go after the employers. In every city and town across the country, there are employers of illegal aliens. You see, I put American citizens and American workers first. I don't want to hear any sob stories about the poor illegal aliens. They've committed at least three crimes to get here. And they're driving up the locally the expenses of schools, colleges, emergency rooms, the hospitals, and welfare. And I know they can't legally get it. They get it. So spending is the problem. Illegal immigration is a big problem. But the most important issue to me and most Americans where we interact with the government is taxes. And what has happened? Prior to 1930, the size of the federal government was very small. It was less than 3%. Today, it's in the high teens, about 20. We need to get the final report in, but that's approximately the size of the federal government today. It's over six times what it was in 1930. It actually got very close to 25%, which is eight times. Now, what does that mean? Government is not for free, so more and more people are paying more and more taxes. And because of that, they have to work two jobs, or both husband and wife have to work. At one time, believe it or not, one parent could work a full-time job and support a family, not only the wife who stayed home, and children, two, three, four children. Not anymore. Today, husbands and wives work, and they put their children, especially small children, in daycare. Not an ideal situation at all. Not at all. So what have we become? We've become a nation of government serfs. Because when you add the tax burden of the federal government, the state government, the county government, the city government, property taxes, mainly for public education, most people in the United States are a minimum of paying 40 to 60% or their income is going to where? Taxes to pay for this out-of-control spending. And on top of that, we have a very regressive Social Security and Medicare taxes. This is worse than the Middle Ages in terms of what the serfs could keep. And that's the problem. We need limited government. It's not optional. And that means balancing the budget and then running surpluses to pay off the debt and to pay off those unfunded liabilities that, quite frankly, will never be paid off. We're in a mess, and it's getting worse and worse every day, and we don't have leaders that are addressing it, neither in the Democratic Party or, for that matter, in the Republican Party. Oh, yeah, I gave you my four. Today, my four that I could vote for, I didn't say I'm terrifically impressed with them. I'm not sure they're up to it. Oh, they all have their advantages. I understand some are very good speakers. Some are good on the issues or certain issues. But my four are Cruz. Trump is no longer on the list. I took him off the list as of yesterday when he came out with this tax proposal. So you have Ted Cruz. I'm putting Rand Paul back on the list. Ben Carson. And this one is going to have some big reservations. Mike Huckabee. The reason I'm putting Mike Huckabee on the list, he's the only candidate so far, and I think he will remain the only candidate, that is for the fare tax. The fare tax is a broad-based consumption tax. It's commonly referred to as a national sales tax. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a sales tax, although many people like to describe it. I woke up this morning, listened to a talk radio, and that's how the gentleman phrased, oh, I know the national sales tax people are going to be calling. I don't know a sales tax where I get a prebate check every month for a certain dollar figure. Now, I want to disclose right up front so there's no confusion. I'm going to be comparing Trump's proposal with the fare tax as well as my version of the fare tax, which has a slightly lower rate and a higher tax prebate. And the reason you have a tax prebate, and this is the big important difference between the flat tax and the fare tax, the tax prebate is to enable anybody from the poorest to richest to pay the taxes on the necessities or essentials of living. Everybody needs food. Everybody needs a roof over their head. You need transportation. You need to pay for transport, whether it's public transportation or a car. You need insurance. And there are other things that you need to pay for just to live. And obviously, if you're in a city that's expensive, all those items are a lot more expensive. So what the fare tax offers people of no income or low income is a prebate to pay for the fare tax. The fare tax, everyone would pay the same rate, and you would pay it when you spend your money, when you consume goods and services, new goods and services. What's unique about the fare tax or the consumption tax, it would replace all your personal income taxes, all your payroll taxes. It would replace the corporate income taxes. When I say replace, it's going to abolish personal income taxes, Social Security, Medicare, so-called payroll taxes, corporate income tax, there won't be one. It's replaced. No alternative minimum tax, no inheritance taxes, and no taxes on capital gains. That, in a nutshell, is the fare tax. And what that means is your gross paycheck will be your paycheck. You're going to get a pay raise because there will be no more deductions for payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and no more withholding taxes for income taxes, assuming you owe any. And the employer would no longer pay corporate taxes, business taxes, nor would he pay your supposedly his matching for Social Security and Medicare. Now, I'm saying that because what am I going to do? I'm going to compare Donald Trump's plan with the fare tax. And I'm going to go rather quickly. I've spent 2 hours just on the fare tax. But I thought it was incumbent on me to first explain, where am I coming from? Where are my biases? And my version of the fare tax, by the way, is not revenue neutral. Donald Trump's plan is revenue neutral. The fare tax is revenue neutral. What that means is it would collect the same amount of money that the current system collects. That's like giving drugs to someone that's addicted. That's like giving heroin or cocaine to someone that has a bad habit. As much money as you send to Washington, they're going to spend it and spend even more. You got to get them off their bad habit. They're spending. They have what I call SAD, spending addiction disorder. sad, and it is sad. And they're trying to ignore the American people. They think they know better, even though they've made this horrendous mess. They are totally fiscally irresponsible. And let me say, there's some good people in the Senate and the House that understand the problem. They simply don't have the votes, folks. You elected it. Fundamentally, the responsibility is on you. You elected these SOBs, and they've made this mess. And if we don't clean it up now, it's going to get a lot worse. You're going to have civil unrest, because when the checks start to be decreased that you're relying on now, and you don't get the benefits that you're counting on, people will be marching and demonstrating and rioting. That's where we're headed. Look at Greece. I don't want that to happen to this country. But it's incumbent on American citizens to correct the problem. We elected them. You got to fire them because they're not telling you the truth. They're lying to you, and they're not dealing with the fundamental problem of this country, which is out of control government spending and a very burdensome tax system. You're working for the government 5, 6, 7 months out of the year to pay for this mess. It has to stop. And that means you got to get active, you got to organize, and you got to find people that you can trust and elect them to public office. Now, I don't no longer trust Donald Trump. I suspected all along, although I didn't say so, even though I put him on my list, because he was good as far as he went on immigration. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the tax plan. Now, I want to be fair to Donald Trump and say, is this better than the current system? Absolutely, it's better. First, he gets rid of the inheritance taxes, estate and gift taxes. Who does that benefit? It benefits the wealthy, the successful. But I don't believe in double taxation. People that have acquired wealth, largely because of their own achievements, some inherited, have paid taxes throughout their lifetime. And usually when you're talking the wealth I'm talking about, they've paid millions in taxes, some case probably billions. And what happens when they die? The government's there to take 55% of it. There's an exemption, but that's for a couple of million dollars. I think it's $3 million. The point is the government's there, even though the person did it, made the fortune, usually by hard work, effort. He wants to leave it to his children, grandchildren, charity, foundations. There are a number of ways they try to avoid this tax, but there's the government with its greedy hands wanting to take it. Just by accident, well, one way I have to, for me to get access to this studio, I have to take one course a semester. And I decided, even though I could teach the course, to take an economics course, because I hadn't taken one in a long time, because I wanted to see what the students were getting in terms of a basic principles of microeconomics. So I'm taking the course. And I walked in, and instructor starts off the course. Well, what's in the news? And I said, well, Donald Trump came out with his tax proposal plan. And I said, dump the Trump, dump the Trump. I've made it a little more concise, dump Trump. He said, well, why? Because of the tax? Yeah. And then part of the class, and it was very, very appropriate for the chapter we're discussing, is on taxation, the various types of taxes, progressive, regressive, proportional. So it fit in, current event. It was a good discussion. Now, what somewhat surprised me, there's hope here, folks. The professor described inheritance taxes and the fact that the government would take 55%, even though about 3 million, I think it's 3 million, is exempt. I've been out of the industry quite a while. At one time, I knew all these numbers. The overwhelming majority of the class, really everybody, said that isn't right, that shouldn't happen. And that's the majority view. Any Republican that supports an inheritance and gift tax, like the case of needing to be pro-life, isn't going to get elected. So Donald Trump is eliminating the estate and gift taxes, but so is everybody else that's running. If you're a Republican, you want to eliminate this. It doesn't raise that much money, by the way. But there are people that are frankly envious and jealous of people's success, and they want to punish the rich, and they want to take that money from the rich and give it to the government so they can waste it. So I applaud the fact that Donald Trump is doing away with that. But I want to make very, very clear, who do you think is going to benefit from this? Hint, Donald Trump, he wants to make believe, and some of the commentators are not challenging him on this, that he's not going to benefit from his tax proposal. Excuse me, Donald, you're going to benefit hugely from doing away with estate and gift taxes, and I applaud you for this. I applaud you. We need to get rid of this. We want to encourage people to work hard and be successful, as you were. I wish we had 1,000 Donald Trumps. Some people would have trouble processing that. I used to say we need 1,000 Microsofts. Let them bloom. Why? What does that mean when you have successful people? It means jobs, folks. The people that take the risk get the rewards, but in the process, what are they doing? They're employing people, you and me. So I'm all for getting rid of the inheritance tax. Now, the other thing that would benefit Donald, but it also would benefit all businesses, he's reducing the corporate income tax down to 15%, which, by the way, is the rate Canada has. I think that's terrific. I really do, because corporate income taxes are too high. Corporations really pass these taxes on. They're really collecting the taxes that you pay in the prices of goods and services. I'm somewhat simplifying. It's about time that we reduce the corporate income tax from 35 or 39%. Depends on what bracket you're in. And I have I have at the very top of my notes for this, the current United States income tax bracket. So I applaud him doing that. But let me interject this. If we went to a broad-based consumption tax, such as the fair tax, or my version of the fair tax, what I call fair tax less, they both get rid of estate and gift taxes. They both would eliminate the corporate tax. In other words, under the fair tax, corporations would pay zero. There would be no longer corporate income taxes, as well as there would be no personal income taxes. There are zero, folks. Now, before I get into the individual brackets, and Donald Trump would benefit there in terms of his corporations, his businesses would be taxed at 15%. That's terrific. Why? That leaves businesses, including Donald Trump's business, with more money. Why is that important? What would businesses do with that money? Expand their operations, increase the pay of their employees, starting with the top executives, probably increase their employee benefits. There are a lot of things businesses can do when you reduce taxes. But the effect on the economy is what? More jobs. And many countries, some countries have zero capital gains tax. Many have 15-20%, we're at the highest. We have the highest corporate income tax today. So I'm applauding Donald Trump going down to 15%, but Donald, why'd you stop there? Why'd you stop it at 15%? Take it to zero. You see, what Donald Trump is offering is it's okay, but there's something that's greater. He wants to make America great again. If we're going to make America great again, we need to have a great income tax system. That is simple. He wants to make it simple. Now, he'll point out, well, I did. We had 7 brackets, and now there are 4 brackets. Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo. Now, here is where he's playing to the crowd, and this is why a lot of people are going to fall for what Donald Trump is proposing. He's going to emphasize, and he'll emphasize it over and over and over again. If you're single, making $25,000 or less, or if you're married and filing as a married couple and making $50,000 or less, your income tax would be zero. That's a tax cut, and that benefits the people in that situation. And also, in terms of the capital gains rate, if you fall in that bracket, you would pay zero, not 15%, but zero. And there are millions of households that fall into that category. So that's a big tax cut, and that's what he's going to repeat over and over and over again. So for the people that are on the very are in this situation, that's primarily young people, not entirely, but people starting out on their careers are probably in that situation, their personal taxes would be zero. Let's say you're making a little bit more money. You've been in a job 2 or 3 years and you've got a promotion or two. If you're making between $25,000 and $50,000, that extra income, that extra $25,000 that you're making, would be taxed at 10%. If you're a married couple, filing as a married couple, and are somewhere between the $50,000 to $100,000, that additional income would be taxed at 10%. Let me summarize. If you're single making $50,000, if you're a married couple making $100,000, you're going to get a tax cut, a significant tax cut. But Donald Trump will say, listen, I took it from 7 to 4 brackets, and the first 2 brackets, either you pay no taxes or only 10%. Isn't that terrific? Well, it is, but let's compare it to the fair tax or the fair tax less. The fair tax gets rid of all personal income taxes. Everybody pays zero. Everybody pays zero personal income taxes, no matter how much money you make. So corporations don't pay anything. Their rate is zero, not Donald Trump's 15%. And personal income tax is zero. And guess what? We don't have 4 brackets. We don't have any brackets. That's what we call being simple and fair. Now, I continue. If you're making single, making between $50,000 and $150,000, you will pay 20% income tax rates on that extra money and 15% on capital gains. If you're married, couple making between $100,001 to $300,000, you'll be paying 20%. And your capital gains would be 15%. Again, if we have the fair tax, there are no more income taxes because we're only going to tax when you actually buy it. And you determine when you pay the tax when you buy it. And no more tax returns and no more April 15th. And your gross pay will be your pay. In other words, you're going to get a pay raise. So you see, Donald Trump's plan is definitely better than the current system, which is terrible. It's right out of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. That's where we got one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto was a progressive or graduated tax. And the United States has a Karl Marx approved progressive graduated tax. But so is Donald Trump's. He still has 4 brackets. You see, I don't believe in progressive taxation. Donald does. Apparently he does. That's what he's proposing. Doesn't surprise me. Why? Donald is a progressive country club Rockefeller Republican. He's a rhino. He is for big government. And what does he do with his wealth? He hires lobbyists to change the tax code, for example, to benefit his business. So do other businesses. That's the name of the game. And that's why we have essentially a fundamentally corrupt government. And both parties are corrupt. And they are corrupted by the likes of Donald Trump. Perfectly legal. So I'm not impressed with Donald Trump's tax proposal. It's definitely better than the current one. But almost anything would be better than that. That's rather a low bar. And finally, if you really make some money, if you make $150,000 and above and you're single, you pay 25%. If you're a married couple making over $300,000, you'd pay 25% on the income and 20% capital gains. That, in a nutshell, is Donald Trump's tax plan. I'm looking at the time. I'm going to have to wrap it up. The point I'm trying to get across is we've had the income tax for over 100 years. What has happened? Over that time, more and more people have had to pay taxes. Initially, it was people like Donald Trump 100 years ago that paid the taxes. Most of the Americans did not. I got about a minute and a half, so I'm really going to cut it short. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do a part 3 because I'm not really doing justice to either Mr. Trump's tax plan or the fair tax, because you really need to look at the economic consequences of it. To be fair to Donald Trump, this is definitely an improvement, but there are a lot more alternatives that are a lot better than Donald Trump's plan. That's why I dump Trump. He's not on my list. He'll never get my endorsement. He got the economic incentives wrong. And I think over time, his position in the polls will go down. With that, let me play my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.